Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're going to love listening through to the end of today's episode. You're going to learn something about bone density you probably don't know about, how you can increase your bone density in a small amount of time. You'll also learn some things about how your body puts on muscle, and this works whether you're a bodybuilder or whether you just want to have adequate muscle mass without a lot of work. And at the very end of the show, you're going to learn a new way to do push-ups that can completely change the amount of muscle and the amount of benefit you get from doing it. It's actually a way to cheat in a push-up that gives you more muscle growth. And if you listen to Bulletproof Radio, you know I'm all about saving you time and saving you energy and getting more results from less effort. You're listening to a top expert from multiple fields and an editor of medical journals in order to learn this stuff. So it's a fascinating episode. Listen through all the way. You'll love it.
What if there was a way to level up your energy, get rid of stress, and take more control of your body? Welcome to Quantum Upgrade. This is a new technology that taps into quantum energy to help you feel amazing. Quantum Upgrade has a lot of different products that help protect you from EMF and help activate your body's natural healing abilities. You can expect better sleep, more resilience, less stress, and better blood flow. The cool thing about Quantum Upgrade is that the products are backed by a lot of heavy-duty scientific studies, and there's a new measurable upgrade. You can now use Quantum Upgrade to increase your consciousness levels between 1400 and 2200 on the Hawkins map of consciousness. If you don't know what that means, do some research because it's impressive, it's fun to learn about, and it's something that I've come to understand. Ready to try Quantum Upgrade? Visit quantumupgrade.io/Dave. For a 7-day free trial.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey. Today's cool fact of the day is a little bit troublesome. It turns out that kids and teenagers who take stimulant drugs to treat ADHD can have lower bone density as a result of that. And as you know from reading Headstrong, lowered bone density is a result of changes in mitochondrial function as well as changes in the environmental thing like the amount of load that you have on your bones. And there's a new research study that says that people who have used these drugs might need lifetime monitoring of bone density so that you can see whether it's affecting them 10, 20, 30 years later. The researchers haven't yet said decisively that Ritalin and amphetamine are to blame, but they've drawn a very strong correlation there, and they're looking to see that it's something that is actually causation. So what does this mean? If you don't really need those stimulant drugs, you might try something else. Things like changing the environment around you so you have more control of your biology. We call that biohacking. And I've seen it work so well for thousands of people who have ADHD or like me who had Asperger's and ADD. When you get enough energy in the brain, it'll do what it's supposed to do. It's pretty amazing. Speaking of having your brain do what it's supposed to do, there's a brand new flavor of Bulletproof Fat Water. It's called Bulletproof Dragon Fruit Fat Water. If you haven't ever seen a dragon fruit, that's okay. You probably haven't, you don't know it. Anytime you see aliens eating fruit on a science fiction TV show, it's always a dragon fruit. There's these incredibly vibrant tropical fruits with bright pink, looks like alien seed pod kind of things. And the inside is either a pink or a white flesh that's vaguely like a kiwi fruit. Very, very cool thing. I first had one actually in Thailand on the same trip when I first discovered yak butter tea, which led to the creation of Bulletproof Coffee. I was really excited to put this into fat water. And you can get fat water on the Bulletproof website. And this fat water has brain octane oil in micro droplets. So instead of using sugar to get a little bit of energy, you drink this stuff. It tastes amazing, and you're using fat for fuel instead of sugar, and you feel really, really good. There's a few B vitamins in it there that also can help with mitochondrial function. If you like the podcast and you're having a good time with it, if you head on over to bulletproof.com/iTunes, it'll take you directly to the iTunes page where you can leave a quick review and just say thanks for the podcast and tell other people that the podcast is worth your time, because I work every single day, 2 episodes a week usually, in order to provide some real value for you. So if you can just do that one thing to say thanks, go to bulletproof.com/iTunes and leave a review. It helps a lot of people, not just me. Today's guest is a friend, a guy I've known for several years, and a guy who was inspired to do what he does because his mom had osteoporosis. He figured out some biochemistry and looked at what he could do and ended up becoming a biomedical engineer. and has done profound things there. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can go to bulletproof.com/YouTube to get a quick link to the YouTube channel to see this. You'll see that he's kind of, I think, built like a brick something or another, kind of a solid looking dude. And that might be because he's done some things like hacking male testosterone optimization. Guy sits on the board of directors of the American Bone Health Institute. He's on the editorial board of the Journal of Steroids and Hormonal Science and Diabetes Open. And he's working on a couple really cool projects, one of which I was the first person to ever see. So I want to share some interesting facts about bones, muscles, hormones, and some other things like that that are going to be really, really impactful and useful for you. And also show you some new stuff that's happening out there that can make a difference for any of those domains of your own health and wellness. His name is John Jaquish. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, John. We've talked personally about this. How did you get into all this at the very beginning? Tell me about your mom.
Well, it was, yeah, my mother. I was young. My mother, I was an undergrad. My mother came to me and said, I've been diagnosed with osteoporosis. So I quickly realized this is a disease of deconditioning. Anything that's deconditioned can become reconditioned. So I looked into what research there was for people who were building like superhuman bone density, who had the most, and it was gymnasts. So it really had to do with the way they would impact the ground. And another interesting thing about gymnastics from a research perspective is that we can see what a gymnast does. Their movement patterns as they strike the ground is very repeatable. They have to do it the same way every time, otherwise they injure. So very well practiced as they do that. So I wanted to create a device that emulated high impact forces. So it's the forces going through the musculoskeletal system that trigger the effect. And so I realized telling my mother to be a gymnast wasn't the right thing to do. But yeah, she appreciated that too. But what we would do is create a fixture where people could get into the positions they would naturally absorb high impact force, and then allow them to self-load and give them computerized biofeedback right in front of them. So they know where they are and where they were the last time they did it. Therefore, if an adaptation occurred in that particular kinetic chain, that they would be able to produce more force. So showing a greater level of functional bone performance, because this is a functional test of bone, and you know, and also a stimulus. So they actually they're able to see the function of their bone from a deceleration perspective and from an actual performance and real world perspective as they use the product week after week after week. So my mother reversed her osteoporosis, but here's the thing that really nailed it home. And you know, now I'm partnered with Tony Robbins in the project. It's called OsteoStrong. There's going to be clinics. There's already 50 clinics in the United States, and there's already agreements for hundreds more. And we're expanding to other countries. So what we know about bone and what bone really is in terms of musculoskeletal health, if you have weak bone and you fire a muscle that's connected to that weak bone in that kinetic chain, there's going to be neural inhibition because you can't engage a muscle to such a high degree where it will break the bone. Your central nervous system has a process called neural inhibition. You've talked about it before. Neural inhibitory processes will stop the body from damaging itself. So by raising bone density to, you know, a higher level, my levels is +2, two standard deviations above normal, that enables me to have a stronger chassis, which is taking away a limit of muscle growth.
So weak bones equals smaller and weaker muscles.
That's right.
And that's because if you had strong muscles and weak bones, you'd break your bones.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense.
Right. And you can use, I like using the automobile analogy. If you take a Formula One engine and put it in a Honda Civic, you'll just rip the thing apart. Just blow the wheels right off of it. So your central nervous system is smarter than the people who do that sort of thing and put a big engine in an economy car because it's trying to keep you in homeostasis. But if you put the body in an environment where it is challenged, an extreme environment, then the body's going to see that extremeness and make the adjustments. Therefore, the entire musculoskeletal system will benefit. and people all over the world have had tremendous, tremendous gains, tremendous things. The CEO of OsteoStrong had chronic back pain, chronic shoulder pain, not a frozen shoulder, but close. You're going to meet him next week. His name's Kyle Zagrodzky. Great guy. So he had all kinds of biomechanics problems, and he was even in the fitness industry. He had a bunch of different fitness locations, and he was one of the guys who was early days in Curves to get that out there. Always looked towards getting audiences that weren't already involved in exercise to try and get them excited about what they can do, you know, from a physical medicine perspective. And so he just thought, oh, you know, I'm getting old. He's in his late 40s, and he had a lot of chronic pain. And he starts doing this therapy after we met, and instantly the pain went away. And it's because he's building not just triggering a little muscular growth. It's the bone that's getting stronger and the associated tendons and ligaments in the whole kinetic chain.
So for someone listening now, they're like, what the heck is going on that's causing strong bones? So I had an interview recently with the guys from Pulse Centers in Georgia, and they were using like pulse electromagnetic frequencies to drive bone density. And you've probably seen me on Facebook Live or on my Instagram page doing that on occasion. Mm-hmm. And that's one way to do it. But you found a way that takes probably less time than anything else I've ever heard of, like stuff that's almost stupidly effective.
Yeah.
How does it work? Like, what is the OsteoStrong thing?
It's a couple seconds. I mean, the actual action of what's going on. So and people ask me, oh, the whole therapy protocol takes 10 minutes. Nothing could take 10 minutes. You only do it once a week also because the metabolic rate of bone is longer than the metabolic rate of muscle.
But by the way, that's one of the reasons I wanted you on the show is that exercising for an hour and a half a day, every day, 6 days a week, like I did when I weighed 300 pounds and mm-hmm. I didn't get results, it's a huge freaking waste of time. Like, I'd want the minimum amount of exercise that's going to get what I want. And when you told me 10 minutes once a week in order to drive bone density, and it works for your grandmother and it works for bodybuilders,
yeah,
like that got my attention. And I know that you know your science because we know each other and we've talked at length about stuff.
Yeah.
So this is why this is disruptive. This is why this is biohacking and just worthy of talking about. So people go in and you said there's 50 locations, and I've seen the gear once. Mm-hmm. So what is, just kind of describe what the process is and why you can drive bone density that way.
So there's four positions you go through, and you sit in these fixtures that are the robotic. So you log in and it's got all your measurements and it closes in on you so that you're in exactly the right position. So it's highly calculated robotic musculoskeletal therapy. And then you basically, like, let's say you're in an impact position, you push away from yourself, and the movement you see is actually the compression of bone. It's not, the machine's not moving at all. And then you have a computer screen in front of you that's telling you what your functional bone performance is in that kinetic movement.
So you're doing something that looks like a push-up, but it's a push-up where you're on a seat that's not going to move, pushing against a surface that won't move.
Right.
So all the energy goes into flexing and compressing the bones.
Compressing a bone on its axis. Okay. So, you know, this is the axis of my clavicle. I want to compress it this way. So
you have to compress it from end to end, towards
end
the middle.
End to end. Right. So like every once in a while, I'll come across somebody who says, well, I foam roll for bone density. That's how I get the pressure on bone. And I'm looking at them like,
bone fibers are aligned a certain way. Doesn't work.
Right. Like right. Like I have to, like you do, like, do I really want to have this argument or it's just go, okay. Yeah.
All right. So foam rolling has its place for sure. Yeah, for bone density, that's not one of the technologies that I would necessarily recommend.
Correct.
Either.
Yeah.
All right. So you're doing what amounts to an isometric exercise where you're wedged into a place where none of your body can move. So all the force has to compress the bones because you're aligned properly.
Right.
And so one is a push-up like position. What are the other three positions that people go through?
One is where the hips, like the 120 degree angle behind the knee, where you're like you would strike the ground.
Like a leg press, sort of like a squat.
Yeah, like a leg press kind of squat kind of thing. Then there's another one for the core to distort the ribs. Now, the bone actually gets distorted slightly. So we have some stop motion photography that I think it's on the OsteoStrong website where you can actually see an individual, postmenopausal female, go from relaxation to compression, and you can see movement, but nothing moves in the machine. The movement is from the axial compression of bone.
Wow. So you'd, she's actually,
you can, you
mushing
don't, yeah,
her bone.
It's like I was just having a conversation with like head of orthopedics in Sweden, or in this huge medical group. And so this this guy was asking me, like, do you think we could ever get some sort of like PQCT, which is a CT scan of like limbs, where we could see a little bit of the compression? And this guy's so excited about learning. Orthopedic surgeons always understand this because they understand the physical mechanics of bone, and they also put screws and pins into bad bone and good bone. So they're very familiar with this. So the guy says, maybe a tiny CT scan of a bone, and maybe we could actually see some of the compression. I sent him that picture. You can see it with your eye. you don't need a CT scan. So
so cool. You can compress your legs that way. You do like a squat, you do a push up, and the other two positions.
There's one for the core.
Okay, where you're pulling down
the rib cage, and then there's one for the spine.
Okay, and that's basically like a deadlift kind of position. But these are all without any actual motion other than compression of your bones.
Right.
And you do it takes about 10 minutes once a week. And the idea behind OsteoStrong is that the gear to do this is pretty big and heavy. So you're going to go into a location once a week for 10 minutes, like on your lunch hour or something, do this, and then get a digital tracking of what's happening to your bone density and your strength, because they go up together. So your ligaments get better, your bones get better. And this is one of those ways of taking what would be tens of thousands of dollars of gear and making it very accessible to people.
$100,000 of gear.
It's a $100,000 machine.
Yeah,
there you go.
Extraordinarily expensive.
Yeah, I don't have one at home.
No, you do not. I would not recommend that. Get a location near your place in Canada.
And also, like, 10 minutes once a week is not worth it. Like that's enough to go do it. But if you're to spend $100,000. To have something like that at home, you probably should buy a Tesla.
Right. I mean, you don't have a barber chair at your house either.
Exactly. Right. So, but it's a small enough amount of time with a big enough benefit. That's why I'm intrigued at this. All right. Let's say that someone doesn't have an OsteoStrong location near them and they wanted to do some bone density stuff at home. What could they do to improve bone density now?
It would be very difficult for me to ethically say that they ought to go out and do high impact exercise. However, some athletic people, they may not be doing high impact activity, or they may be and they don't know. So another thing I created is an iPhone application called Fracture Proof. And what Fracture Proof does is you get download the application, and the application actually benefits American Bone Health. So trying to help the education system to try and get people more up to speed on what they need to do to grow bones. So a little bit of it goes back to a study that was done in Bristol, United Kingdom a couple years ago that determined, and this is one of the most important things in this discussion, the minimum dose response. So like anytime somebody tests a drug, it's like how little of this drug, when you were experimenting with brain octane, how little of this do we need to trigger the intended effect?
Right.
So in increased cognitive abilities, if you're allowed to say that. I'm part of the company, so I am.
More mitochondrial energy does interesting things to the brain. I could say that.
Right. Okay. So the minimum. So this group in the United Kingdom, they did a study where they attached accelerometers to people, and then they had them go through high-impact activities, through whatever they did, whether it was sports, or some of the older people just went through their activities of daily living or exercise class, kind of cardio type stuff, and tried to determine, or they did determine, with crossing the accelerometer data with regular blood draws, because you can test somebody's blood for bone turnover markers. Like if you go through high impact and we test your blood, if the impact is high enough, there are markers that show that there's been an effect of growth. It's called the remodeling effect. So osteoclastic activity happens first, and then osteoblastic activity happens later. So what was so profound about the study is they discovered what the minimum dose response for triggering bone growth is. Like, this is awesome.
So what is it?
Let me back up. For 100 years, Dr. Julius Wolf, he had people jumping off of tables, and after they would die, this is 100 years ago, after they would die, he'd get the cadaver and he'd saw...
From jumping off the table?
No. When they would die of natural causes, he would saw into their bone and look at it and say, okay, the people who went through high impact had higher bone density. So it's called the law of mechanotransduction. Everybody who's been to medical school has studied this. So while he made that observation, he had no way to determine what that minimum dose response was. This is why every educational body recommends resistance to grow bone. Now, resistance in high impact is a lot different than resistance like at a gym. Because you, like a gymnast, for example, get 10 times their body weight when they slam against the ground from a dismount of like the uneven bars. So nobody goes to the gym and lifts 10 times. Nobody, hardly anybody lifts two times. In fact, according to the American College of Sports Medicine, the average of people who exercise on a regular basis, they load their lower extremities with 1.3 times their body weight. So if the minimum dose response, which was discovered in this study, was 4.2 multiples of body weight, that's what it was. That's the minimum.
So you're saying lifting weights won't really affect bone density?
It can happen if you are at a very high degree, maybe if you're doing like strong range partials, maybe if you're also doing high impact.
I mean, there's other variables besides the environmental signal that tells the bones to grow strong. Because if you're lifting, you're going to get more testosterone, bone density. You're going to get more IGF-1. You're going to get more growth hormone. You're going to get better circulation. You might change how you eat. You might get more vitamin K2. You'll get more collagen stimulus. But those are tiny things that affect bone density compared to right loading, which is a huge signal to grow.
Those are building blocks, but you still need the signal. Like a guy with high testosterone that doesn't do any exercise is not going to build big muscle.
Right.
So you can have the IGF, you can have the high testosterone, you can have the calcium, the vitamin D. If you're not putting load on bone, not a whole lot's going to happen. And
right.
That's been shown. And yes, there are some little degrees, usually calcium and vitamin D can slow down the loss.
Yeah, because you know, K2 seems to be particularly
K2,
important.
Yeah, another huge one.
Okay.
So what this study discovered, this 4.2 multiples body weight, they determined that the people who failed to achieve 4.2 didn't grow any bone. They'd never had the turnover markers present with a high level of statistical significance. But the people who exceeded 4.2 multiples body weight did have bone turnover, and so they were able to grow bone.
What about things like the Bulletproof Vibe? One of the things that they use whole body vibration for, and the reason we chose the frequencies that are in the Bulletproof Vibe is it's what NASA uses to help astronauts get reconditioned after getting no stimulus on their bone in space.
Right.
So this is a vertical vibration, 30 times a second, and I know you've studied the whole body vibration space very extensively. Mm. Is there any usefulness for bone density for people who are already healthy with bone density there? And it's okay to say no. I mean, there's studies that go both ways that I know of. So
yeah, the right answer is no. But there's a but.
There are studies that go both ways.
No, the vibration does not do anything for bone. What the vibration can do is increase somebody's biomechanics. So if somebody is highly deconditioned, very poor biomechanics, kyphotic, they can start to fire some of the stabilizing muscles. So then they can go on and do more impact like activity, or they can do this osteogenic loading therapy.
So on a typical vibration plate, how many times your body weight is going to happen at the bottom of vibration?
Just the body weight.
Body weight. Well, no, there's acceleration. I mean, 9.2 meters per second.
To have
square.
It be relevant in trabecular bone, you have to account for the accommodation of skin being pushed together.
Yep.
You have to accommodate for the natural process of all the tendinous ligamentous material there, which is designed to decelerate someone.
Yep.
And muscle is completely designed to decelerate you.
Right.
So it's difficult to determine because a lot of the vibration manufacturers...
There's a lot of crap out there.
They played a silly game with mathematics to say that your gravity is six times normal when you're standing on the vibration plate. That's ridiculous. That's like they might as well put a blinking light on it and say you're exercising at the speed of light. It's just I was involved with a vibration company, and the stuff that is out there was appalling. Now,
there's a lot
nothing
of stuff
I was involved
that,
with, but
yeah. But there's a lot of stuff that'll ruin your low back. And when I started experimenting like 15 years ago, I hurt my hips and my back with the side to side stuff, and I broke a couple machines. But I saw benefits. That's why I ended up doing it the way I did it. So you're saying that there are benefits to it, but they're mostly neurological and circulation based.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I would support that. And there are studies that say if you have osteoporosis, if your bones are very weak, you can see benefits from it. But if you have strong bones, they're not going to give you superhuman bones.
But see, the highly controlled studies found no effect. Some of the poorer controlled studies did see some effect. So I could say there was something nefarious going on. But what I think what was going on is they didn't control the activity of the participants in the study. So if we take somebody who's kyphotic and doesn't
Define
have...
Define kyphotic for the audience.
Just yeah, hunched over, like some of the older people. That they just have, or their head is just translated a little bit.
Anyone with an iPhone?
anyone who looks down at their iPhone all the time. Yeah. So when you have poor biomechanics, you're not going to be able to absorb impact level force. So when you improve somebody's biomechanics and don't control their other activity through the whole period of the study, and if you're going to study somebody's bone density, it's going to be over a long period of time. So, you can't tell them, oh, all of a sudden, if you feel fantastic, you're not allowed to go out and run around in a field and play soccer with your kids or something like that. So if all of a sudden they start improving their activity, and that may have a tiny bone density effect. But even the best studies that showed a bone density effect, which I like I said, they were the poorly controlled ones, it's very minuscule. Yeah,
it's more about lymphatic circulation. And I do see a lot of tightness when I do it, like versus going for a walk. There's a mitochondrial stimulation and things. So I remain a fan of whole body vibration done right.
But
for bone density, it's not a strong signal compared to jumping off tables or in the case of what you're doing with OsteoStrong, loading the bones properly. Right. And I definitely, you feel it when you do it. It's a very different kind of exercise than lifting weights when you're doing OsteoStrong.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
So OsteoStrong will become available for people, and I'm assuming it's osteostrong.com?
Osteostrong.me.
.me. Okay, cool. And that's something that you're partnering with Tony Robbins on. And,
yeah.
And okay, well, let's talk about Tony for a minute, because I'm fortunate that Tony's invited me to speak at his Unleash the Power Within conference. I'm on the regular agenda now, so I speak to like 15,000 people on a regular basis.
It
just blows me away. You know what it's like. And Tony, when you go backstage, he's got a trampoline, like a mini trampoline. And I don't know any human being, and I know a lot of crazy madmen out there who has the raw energy production ability of Tony Robbins. Like, he throws off heat. He's got air conditioners blowing on him on stage, and he's emoting. He's like sending a signal. Yeah. But backstage, he's got every piece of biohacking gear, everything he can to just give him more energy.
Yeah.
And right there is a trampoline. Mm-hmm. What are the effects of rebounding on bone density?
Because it's cushioned at the bottom, very little.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's... Now, you might get ligament improvements, though, from vibration and bouncing, or does that also require the same thing?
That's not as researched.
Okay.
So it would be difficult to say. I could guess there'd be more of one.
You're a research professional. You've been studying this stuff your whole life. You've worked with pro athletes and lots of people. So whether or not there are studies in your experience, what would you guess, given that you know more than almost anyone else and you've seen more than almost anyone else and you had to flip a coin, what side is it going to land on?
It would land on the tendon and ligament improvement.
So. Okay. I tend to think that's right too, but I don't have anywhere near your level of experience in that part of it. So it seems likely. All right.
One of the problems here is that it's like no one does cancer studies on diets with a lot of high fat and vegetables, right?
Yep.
Because there's not a lot of business to be done.
Yep.
Like, nobody's going to sell a product that's going to potentially make $1 trillion or billions of dollars or something like that. To tell people to go eat vegetables and high-fat diet, right? Yep. So we're just not going to get that level of study.
Right. No,
we're not
going to
get a pharma-level study there.
Yep.
So that's the problem with all physical medicine interventions like that.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. And frankly, if you have a study that says a food has a medical effect on you, you're not allowed to speak about it because then you're accused of selling food as a drug. So a lot of the research that exists around things like collagen or brain octane, I'm legally forbidden to tell you what it actually does.
Right. And to make things even worse, if you did a clinical trial on it, they would say, oh, this needs to be controlled. But
I still can't say it.
You still can't say it.
It drives me nuts.
So even if you do everything right and play by the FDA's rules, then you're just fenced off in another area. So,
So I can tell you, it makes you feel good.
Yep. You can say that.
Now, you're working on another project. Which is one the one I mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
I was the first person outside of your your company.
First guy I showed. I couldn't wait to get it to you.
Yeah, you flew up to my house, actually, Bulletproof Labs Alpha there. Mm-hmm. And I played with this and was like, wow. We ended up testing it with four different people on the Bulletproof team. Mm-hmm. These were the only four prototypes in existence. We did it for about 6 weeks. All of them were like, can I keep this? And you're like, no. Yeah. And you took it back.
A few of them. So the prototypes cost $2,000 a piece to build. And a couple of them, two of them said, I'll give you $2,000 if I can just keep this.
Yeah.
Of course, I needed it. So
yeah, this was very early stage startup stuff. So this device is called the X3. And I keep wanting to call it Triple X because, and I got to just tell you guys this. John is an incredible research scientist. He's got biceps at least as big as my head and knows what he's doing. But he wanted to call this product Triple X. And I'm like, John, that might have a connotation. He's like, but it makes you grow muscle three times as fast as lifting weights.
There's research that says that.
So yeah. I think X3 was the right name.
Well, I thought Triple X would be like a controversial name. And it would be, right? Like everyone's going to like laugh when they hear that name. Right. And, oh, yeah, I got to check that out. And they'll remember it. Problem was, from a search engine perspective, that's like the worst thing you can do. Because it's like anybody will find.
It'd be like the shake weight. It'd be terrible.
Oh. Yeah. So... yeah, called it X3 because the gains come three times as fast.
So in all of your research on bone density and on muscle building, just being a bodybuilder and working with a lot of the top bodybuilders, some of whom have now endorsed this thing.
Yep.
And I'll just say my deal is I would love to work out less and get all the benefits because I have stuff to do. Like I'd rather record another episode of this. I'd rather go, like this morning I took my kids to the zoo. If I could get another hour of time to go to the zoo versus hit the gym, I'll take that.
Right.
So how do I put muscle on and just maintain muscle? I don't want to look like a bodybuilder.
Right.
And if I decide to, then I'm going to commit more time and more effort. But in the meantime, I want to maintain the almost muscular physique,
right?
Which is the one that I think is going to help me live the longest.
Sure.
So the way to do this that you discovered involves loading the muscles in a different way than gravity and weights does. Can you walk me through that?
Right. So... let me walk back a little bit and talk about some of the bone density research.
Sure.
So one of the later studies that I did on bone density, I just wrote the protocol and I had a hospital in London do the research and it was published in the Journal of Osteoporosis and Physical Activity. Great journal, by the way, because I cover physical medicine. What we discovered was that we've always known, and it's been talked about, is in range of motion. So like if I'm going to push something away from myself, let's say a bench press bar, when it's laying on my chest, I can handle, let's say, X. But when I push it further away from me, like let's say halfway up, it's more. We all know we have greater capability. Mm-hmm. So when we select a weight, like in the gym, to do weightlifting with, we will select the weight that we can handle in our weakest range of motion. And while it's been known what the difference is in the capability, what was discovered in that study, a guy named Basil Hunt, who's a clinical psychologist in the United Kingdom healthcare system, he was absolutely blown away at the differences. Remember I said 1.3 multiples of body weight is what people on average load their hips with. Well, what we see in that study and in the data in general is that people actually load the hips in a maximal perspective, in an impact deceleration perspective, at 9 times their body weight.
So translate that into English for people listening who don't know what maximal.
I'm going to. Okay. Right. So all that stuff I said, forget all that. What you need to remember, the takeaway here is, you are 7 times more powerful in your strong range of motion than you are in your weak range of motion.
There you go.
Right. So if I'm going to do a bench press, basically I'm losing a magnitude, huge multiple of the growth potential because whatever weight I pick, I can handle in the weak range of motion, which means in the strong range of motion, it's not really doing anything. So... and this is the problem. And because in conventional lifting, we pick a static weight, we're only stimulating in the weaker range of motion, which is also where joint damage happens. So the guys who try and train heavy over and over again, they have tendonitis, they have all kinds of damaged joints, biomechanics problems. When you go to a powerlifting event, a lot of the older powerlifters, they're walking with canes. And you kind of look around and you say, this sport was about health, right?
Like, no.
Excuse me, guys.
It was about power.
This was about health, I thought. I don't know. Like, so, I mean, it's I love powerlifting. Fascinated by it. Amazing. I always have been. It's why don't we, and the question when I looked at this research data, I thought, why don't we develop something that is accommodating? Why can't we have a variable resistance product where in the weak range, we have a very low amount of weight to protect joints, and in the strong range, we have a weight that we could never unrack at the gym, much higher. And then I took it a step further and built a protocol around this. So, and this is another takeaway, diminishing range with variable mm-hmm. resistance. So when you do it, you never lock out. You don't, because you lock out, you turn the muscle off. It's a very confusing system for your central nervous system and ends up doing nothing. So let's say I go to full extension. Let's say with one band that I have, you know, this one.
So just we haven't talked about that. So what you're using is custom made bands.
Yeah.
With a really interesting ball bearing device that allows you to not twist your joints as you're doing.
Right.
Like
right.
You can buy resistance bands for like, I don't know, $30 or something, but they don't do what this does.
Right. Right. So the bands are special in that they're layered latex.
Okay.
As opposed to molded rubber. Yep. So the power behind them is very different. It's kind of difficult to explain that over the internet. People see a tiny video and they see a rubber band and it's like, isn't that the right. same as all the other ones? No.
You had to custom make the band.
Yeah. So. So what we do is we vary the resistance. So let's say I have 80 pounds when it's on my chest.
And on a bench press.
It's okay. 200 pounds. Yeah, on a bench press. 200 pounds when I'm halfway away from me to full extension. And then it's 350 pounds when I'm at full extension. Let's just say that that's what the power curve is. And that's what it is when I use, because I tested it with a load cell, right. when I use that particular band. So let's say I go through 10 repetitions and all of a sudden I can't hit that 350 anymore. Now, I've built up to this. Like this,
sure.
Hitting 350 at the peak is not what people do on day
you're
one.
You're a pretty solid guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to pat myself on the back. I'm ridiculously strong. So I'm able to go to this 350 until right. like, let's say 10 repetitions right. and then I can't get there. Then I diminish the range.
So you don't push as far.
Right. Right. And so I can only go like, let's say halfway. And I do maybe another 5 or 6 repetitions that are halfway to where I get to the 200 pounds. Then I'm too exhausted to do that.
And there's no pause at the bottom. You never unload the muscle.
Right. Exactly.
That's important.
Constant tension. Yeah. So it's constant tension. First, variable resistance uh-huh. with the heavy bands and the very particularly made bar that'll handle hundreds and hundreds of pounds that has an Olympic bar function. So you can, it swivels. So if you turn your wrist, you don't lose grip on it. That's huge. That's part of why this was such a profound thing. And then there's also a ground plate to hook it to the ground.
So you can do the curls and things like that.
Right,
so,
right.
So we're
go through a range of motion.
We're doing this on video live. We're actually at the BN Limited yeah. Bulletproof Conference. We're doing holotropic breathing with Stan Groff and things like that. So if you want to watch this on video, bulletproof.com/YouTube will give you the link. But we'll talk everything through. So if you're driving or you're at work, you don't have to watch the video.
Right.
But it's this heavy bar about 2 feet across with extremely heavy hardware on the ends. You could just fit it in your luggage, it looks like.
Yeah. It's 21 inches.
21
drop
inches.
Drop it right in a carry-on.
And it weighs, what, 6 pounds, 8 pounds?
Eight pounds.
And it's a solid thing. And it's got these swiveling hooks on the ends that hook to some bands. And I can tell you, having done this for that time about 18 months ago,
yeah.
You do this for like 5 minutes. You feel like you're going to die. Like you get dizzy from it. And then when you're done,
you got to
like,
sit down. You like, do one yeah. set and you have, because the level of exhaustion,
it's insane.
That with the variable resistance, of course, it's a deeper muscular stimulus. Yep. Keeping the constant tension, that's huge. And then the third thing is the diminishing range. So you end up, the end of one set, you have 1 inch repetitions where you're just exercising the weaker range of motion. So you fatigue all ranges of motion simultaneously in one set. It is, and as we
it's
know,
brutal.
triggering an adaptation in the human body, typically, the greater the stimulus, the greater the response. You don't get much of a tan on Christmas Day, but you will in July. So you don't have to be outside for very long. So the exposure to the stimulus, the more intense you can make that. And so we're basically tricking the body into being able to put tremendous forces through the musculoskeletal system with very little risk of injury, and then trigger, and then going through that full range of motion, triggering massive muscular growth.
It's a interesting thing. What I would do is I would have my Bulletproof coffee in the morning, and then I would do this basically around 12 or 1
exactly
when I'm in a fasted state. So I've got nothing but ketones from the Bulletproof coffee. Mm-hmm. And then I do this, and afterwards it's like, I got to eat now. Yeah. And I'd go eat.
Yeah. All right. So this is very, very controversial with all the things I've seen online. Yeah. People haven't experienced it. And their exposures, they see a video that's, 1 inch by 1.5 inches on their phone screen. So it's very difficult to see the complexity and quality of the product. And so when I say I put on 30 pounds in a year of muscle and I drop body fat at the same time, like some of these, I think they call them bro lifters, or bro science or whatever.
Oh, the science trolls, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, where they read an article by Arnold, which was written by, not Arnold, but had his name on it in, the 1970s. And they assume they know absolutely everything there is to know about every nuance of human physiology. God bless them. They're nice people. They mean well. They think they're protecting their friends from some goofy product, but it's not goofy. There's a ton of science behind it. And yes, I did put on 30 pounds of muscle in a year.
You are looking substantially thicker than
since the last time you saw me. Yeah. And I've even been filming the 12-week program. So we have a free 12-week program with the product. I've been filming the 12-week program. And even in the videos from week to week, there are users of the product who bought the pre-order who have been saying, like, I actually see you getting bigger every week.
So I got to tell you very clearly, John, X3 is a scam because I put on 30 pounds of muscle in 6 weeks.
And I didn't
exercise anymore.
Right.
Actually, I did, but I was using SARMs.
Yeah.
So. But, and you're not. That's the reason I'm bringing this up.
Yes.
You're not doing that. You're not using SARMs.
I have not experimented with SARMs.
So it's, what about testosterone?
I do. So I had low testosterone when I was younger.
Sure. I had it since I was 26. So.
28 for me.
Cool. So you take physiological doses of it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And what physiological doses of bioidentical testosterone do is they make you live longer and like your life better. And anytime someone out there says, oh, you're taking testosterone, it doesn't matter. Actually, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Yeah. This is an anti-aging therapy.
You get
therapy.
Such a little dose.
Yeah.
It doesn't do any. I mean, you feel better.
Yeah,
you
don't get big from that.
What you do is you don't lose muscle. You get the prescription. Most people get the prescription when they're like 40 or 50. In fact, part of the reason that I really got excited about this product was working with, I'm a clinical director of physical medicine for Titan Biomedical. So that's a lab that prescribes testosterone. And it was funny because people would get a prescription for testosterone, they wouldn't see any results at all.
Yep.
And I had a friend at Cenogenics that said the same kind of, that's similar type of service. Said the same kind of thing. We have patients that just don't gain any muscle at all.
Yeah, they're happier and they're probably better in bed,
right.
But they don't gain muscle.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so, and also I think frequently they think they're going to look 18 again. There's some, unrealistic expectations that are often even on the fault of the person who's
going to. This stuff helps. And it really can improve your outlook on life if you have the low testosterone male
syndrome. You're not going to put on a ton of muscle.
Yeah.
From testosterone therapy. So so I was always an athletic, muscular guy. And then when developing this thing, I had just ridiculously awesome results.
So we have no formal affiliate or anything like that. I'm an advisor to a couple of companies making interesting muscle developing stuff. I'm not officially an advisor here. We're just friends. We're talking about this stuff. Yeah. So this is, but I'm guessing it's x3.com. I don't actually
x3bar.com.
know. x3bar.com.
Yeah.
I can tell you guys, this is legitimate stuff. I'm really impressed with it, which is why I wanted to have John on. And plus, a thing or two here. you've studied this extensively. You've looked at the effects of whole body vibration, and you've looked at the effects of what happens when you don't allow the muscles to relax, when you just kill them the way the right. X3 bar does.
Well, yeah.
And I felt it. I tried it. So I think this is one of those time-saving things that maybe pro bodybuilders, I guess you have some pros who are now using this, can use, but also just normal people, whether you're a stay-at-home mom who's like, look, I don't have time to work out. I want to I want to deal with my kids. And this happens a lot. Actually, I hear this happen to my wife.
Yeah.
Like, I used to have a yoga practice. I used to do all this stuff. And now, like, the demands of life are just too much. But I still want to maintain my muscle mass because it's important to feel good.
Well, remember, one of the reasons we're friends, I remember the first time you called me, I think it was like a 2.5 hour conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even sure where you got my number, but it was just like, hey, this is Dave Asprey. Like, really?
I called 1-900 Big Muscles and you answered.
Yeah,
I
didn't there even, you go.
Okay.
we talked, and it's not even just the things that we're working on. I mean, while they're different, they're going towards a very common goal of what you just said, but also they're optimizing. So, like, I didn't want to develop this so people could save time. I wanted to create the absolute ultimate serious strength training thing.
Yeah, you're a perfectionist.
That would yeah. And a part of it is, like, a lot of people have said that this is a little overbuilt. And my, because it handles over 500 pounds. In fact, I got a video on YouTube where I'm doing 550-pound, I had a load cell in the middle of the chain. I mean, between the band and the bar. 550 pounds for reps. Not everyone's going to do that. But I wanted to show that something like this, that this with variance and resistance, could make somebody as strong as possible, because now we're leveraging what we've learned about the human body in the differences of the capability and range of motion. So, this is anybody who says, oh, it's too expensive or whatever, and I say, what if it's the last fitness dollar you ever spend? So then is it too expensive?
Yeah. You're charging about $400 for this?
$429, yeah.
All right, good deal. Yeah. And I can tell you, I don't have one of these. I tried the original prototype, which looked a little different, but it was pretty similar.
Yeah.
This was back quite a while ago.
Yeah.
So I'm about to get one of these things. And I guess that we do have a financial relationship. You're giving me one for free, right? There you
yes,
go.
Yes, I am.
I've been
am.
Bought, guys. But I am truly impressed. I have gear that costs up to $45,000. Actually, one piece of gear is $130,000 that improves stem cell production in my labs at home. So I'm willing to.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah. And I'm willing to. That's the CVAC, by the way. Yeah. And I'm willing to not. I drive a pickup truck, not some sports car or something.
I've been in your pickup. Nice.
It's a nice truck, but like I put my R&D dollars into things like this.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, for the money, this blows my muscles out in a way that, you know, $15,000 electrical stim doesn't.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a big fan of electrical stim still, and I have multiple technologies to do this. I also like the computer driven resistance things. Mm-hmm. But this for travel and for people who don't have a lot of space or want something that's much more economical, I think this absolutely deserves real attention.
Yeah.
As a biohacking device, and that's why you're here. So, what else can we talk about? Let's say that someone doesn't have access to the X3 and they want to put on some muscle relatively quickly using more traditional stuff. They have a choice of Nautilus machines or 24-hour kind of machines, or they have a choice of bars or jump ropes or something. Like, what's the best option?
Yeah, well, part of it is, if there was an easy way to accomplish that objective of variable resistance, really like the highest degree, like what we're doing, if there was a way to do it, I wouldn't have bothered to build a product. I would have just advocated whatever that was.
Well, we've got like the Doug McGuff bodyweight exercise, you know, the real slow things like that. That seems to be effective in a smaller amount of time, at least for average muscles. No one's using that, I think, to just get, you know, completely bodybuilder grade. But if we're looking at that equation, which is how do I get enough in a minimal amount of time?
Right.
Any recommendations for that?
There's, I mean, without recommending, so much garbage out there. There's so much bad advice.
So let's say you've got maybe body weight exercises. I mean, should I be doing slow push-ups, fast push-ups? I mean, give me the when I get down the road.
So slow is always better.
Okay.
in any type of movement because you get stability firing.
Okay.
And what I tell people who like to bounce the bar off their chest when they do a bench press, or they're kind of the CrossFit style pull-ups where they let their body weight drop and then bounce off their bicep tendon as they try and jerk themselves back up. You can probably tell by my tone, I'm not a big fan of that. Though CrossFit's doing a very good job of cleaning that kind of stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, it's
very good job.
I would say that the CrossFit trainers that I've met and worked with, they're very focused on form.
Yeah. And last 2 years that.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. If you run a CrossFit gym and you aren't well enough trained to focus on form, you're not going to run a successful gym because people get injured. Yeah, but when you train them right, they'll become very strong. Right.
Right. Yeah. So I'm a CrossFit fan.
Yeah.
Body weight exercises. I'm probably mostly a fan of balance and stability type stuff. And I say this to bodybuilders, and I mentioned a friend of mine, Phil Hernon.
Right.
He was a 1996 Mr. USA. Awesome bodybuilder. He runs a really successful supplement business now, and he's just one of these really mindful individuals who offers his help to aspiring athletes and bodybuilders basically for free, though he does train some. He's training a few of the top bodybuilders right now. But he is, I lost my train of thought. Why'd I bring that up?
Because we're looking at what you could do without.
Oh, right. So Phil, I shared a bunch of research that I had come across, and then a study that got published last year in the Journal of Steroids and Hormonal Health with Henry Alkire. He was my, he's instrumental in putting these, projects together. He works with me. And so I showed Phil this research, and this goes back a little bit full circle to the vibration. So stability firing is one of the primary mechanisms that triggers growth hormone. That's what you're really doing on vibe. That's what you're doing when you do a one-legged squat and try and balance yourself, when you have to stabilize. And this is like when you draw a line on a piece of paper and you draw it really fast, it's easy to draw it straight because you're using momentum. When you draw a straight line very slowly across a page, that's harder because you're actually firing stabilizing muscles to keep that line straight. And that's the way you need to look at your lifting, because you don't want just the primary actors. Like when I'm pushing something away from myself, it's not just my pectorals, it's all the stabilizing firing. Because not only from a safety perspective, when all those stabilizers are enacted, they're protecting me from injury. But secondarily, when a muscle fires without your intentional action, it's called a spinal reflex. So it means a tendon is moving and you're not moving it. So the body fires that muscle to protect all the joints around it. So when that happens, when that spinal reflex firing happens, especially in rapid succession, growth hormone goes up. And so Henry Alkire and I did a study where we looked at all 23 different data sets. So it's a meta-analysis. Does everybody know what a meta-analysis is?
I'm guessing most listeners do, but in case you don't, a meta-analysis is something where researchers look at all the other studies, decide which ones are worth paying attention to, and look at, say, well, there are 25 studies, five of them were crap. The 20 that were any good, this is what they found.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So just ramming a bunch of research together and using statistics to determine a better answer. Also, it takes a lot of biases out. If you had one biased researcher or somebody who was maybe looking at the wrong variables or something.
Funded by Monsanto and willing to just lie blatantly.
Funding conflicts or something like that. So 23 data sets all came to the same conclusion, which was stability firing rapidly increases growth hormone.
So this would imply that if you're using the Bulletproof Vibe, you'd want to... this is what I did when I was using the X3 prototype. I would stand on the Vibe, and I would do the exercises with the prototype. Yeah. Is there a value to doing that, or was I just trying to double down because I'm lazy?
No, it's absolute value.
Oh, okay.
In fact, like if you go through the X3 12-week program... it gets more and more aggressive, not only with the heaviness of the band that you're using, because that has a lot to do with stability firing too. You don't need a stability fire when you just stand on one foot. But when you stand on one foot and then you bend your other knee so that your femur is parallel to the ground,
right.
You got a lot of stability firing there, because that's tough. So we definitely go through that 12-week program where we're shifting people towards the stability-based exercise. So we start with two-legged squat, And then people migrate to a split squat where they just basically have their toe on the ground behind them.
Okay.
And they're putting the band and they got the bar across their shoulders, like a front squat loaded position. So they're putting massive forces through one leg, but the core is totally lit up. If we were to do electron myography on those mm-hmm. muscles, you'd see firing just like crazy through the whole core, which is that's tremendous. And that's going to upregulate growth hormone.
All right. So you would suggest for people who are exercising without X3, without any special gear, without the Bulletproof Vibe, if they can do things that engage stabilizing muscles. And yeah. These would be body weight exercises, certainly.
One-legged squats.
Okay.
I say this to trainers and they look at me I have two heads. I say, do you do two-legged squats with your clients? And they all say, of course, it's the most functional exercise. And I said, oh, you must train kangaroos because people walk on one leg at a time.
Right.
So we lose our balance. We generally don't have 2 feet firmly planted on the ground.
Okay.
We lose our balance when we have 1 foot on the ground. So it would make the most sense to train on 1 foot at a time. That is not what we do. But it's just, there's a lot of things that we don't do that are just kind of the common practice, which is why, you know.
Yeah, well that's a lot of your career has been, what's the very best way to do this versus the way we do it.
And that was the impetus behind X3 and OsteoStrong. Same thing.
That's why I like to hang out with you because you're a perfectionist that way.
Awesome.
All right. Let's do two more things. One, I've got to ask you the question that I ask everyone on Bulletproof Radio. Mm-hmm. And then for people who are watching on video, let's actually have me do a couple curls or something just to demonstrate the thing.
Yeah.
All right. And I've lost some of my gains from the SARMs, which happens when you stop using SARMs.
Yep.
But it was still a fun experiment. But I'm still reasonably strong. But I want to play around with the thing. And do me a favor, don't blow me out because I'm interviewing two of the world's top spiritual and meditation masters after this at the Beyond Limited event. So I don't want to go to sleep when we're done. So we'll just do a light workout.
Okay.
But before then, and that's, I'm not sure we'll put that on the radio show, but that'll be on bulletproof.com/iTunes.
Yeah.
And sorry, bulletproof.com/YouTube is where you go for that, just to get a link to all the channel. And then let me ask you the question. If someone came to you tomorrow and said, John, based on everything you know in your life, exercise physiology, bioengineering, and mm-hmm. not, what are the three most important pieces of advice you'd have for me if I told you I want to perform better at everything I do as a human being? Three most important things. What are they?
Well, one would be, the first one actually would be the order that we just went through them. Be like, be mindful of bone density. And mentioned fracture proof is a good way to figure out if you are capable of hitting the ground and functionally switching on bone density. And then,
okay, that's an iPhone app.
That's an iPhone app, right?
Okay, fracture proof, so you tell people, so watch your bone density. And that actually could sound like you're like, okay, bone density matters so much. But the reason for that would be that bone density drives almost everything else in the body. If you have weak bones,
you're weak. Right, it's the chassis that your engine sits on. And,
got it.
Right, addressing bone density is an absolute key to performance.
Cool.
And that's something that Tony Robbins, like when he looked at like my talk track, like how I would go not just speak at medical conferences, I do that and it's very different. I got to really present the data and not be so excited as I am today. They won't really dry monotone. Yeah,
doctors get pissed when you're happy. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, they don't want anyone who's promoting. So I understand. They want the data and they want to make their own decision.
Yeah.
If they're excited, that's fine. So, it's having an eye towards bone density and then building it.
All right.
And so there's two different ways to do that.
That'd be the first thing you'd recommend though, just in terms of the three things.
Yeah.
All right. So have a strong chassis because that matters a lot. All right. What's the next most important thing for people just that want to perform better, not just in the gym, but just in life?
Variable resistance. So for example, if like a real like easy way to get some variable resistance gains, if you're a guy who really doesn't do any type of exercise, get in a push-up position. Start doing push-ups. And when you can't do them, drop to your knees. Put your knees against the ground. Push away from yourself. So now you're doing the up part of the push-up with your knees. Then when you get to the top, lift your knees up and give yourself the negative of your whole body weight.
Okay, so just the lowering
right, so
part.
So you're basically cheating through, they call it cheating. I hate that because
I love cheating. It's great.
Well, it's like a biohack for how to get how to get to a greater level of exhaustion. Like I said, the greater the exhaustion, the greater the effect.
Okay.
So you're exhausting yourself. You're forcing reps.
That's
forcing
a knee hack. Reps. Okay.
Yeah. So you drop to the knees, push yourself up, lift your knees up, and then in the negative, in the concentric motion, you give your whole body weight, and then do it again, and do it however many times you can do it until absolute fatigue, and you'll see just a tiny little bit of like what X3 can do, but that's variable resistance. You're changing the resistance.
So strong chassis would be number one, and number two would be switch it up to get the variable resistance. All right, third most important thing you can do to be a high-performance human.
Stability.
All right.
Like this is one-legged squats. This is buying a balance board while you're watching your favorite TV show.
Just stand on a balance
board.
Orange
is the New Black, and you put the balance board in front of you, and you just stand on it and let your stabilizers keep you there. You don't even have to think about it. These are muscles. This is exactly what's going on vibration. Like the hormonal effects of stability firing, like the data sets weren't all on whole body vibration platforms. They were in all types of different things. One of them was just like a percussor test, where somebody would put a percussor on a Achilles tendon. I think it was the Achilles. One of the tendons, and forcing the muscle to fire because you're altering the length of the tendon. So firing in spinal reflex to protect the joint, but it had the hormonal effect.
Got it. Yeah. So if people want to be high performance, have a strong chassis, get variable resistance, and then be more stable. And these have a combination of neurological and hormonal effects that just generally make you stronger, more energetic, things like that. Okay. Beautiful answer.
Yeah.
All right. You've been listening to John Jaquish, who is a founder and creator of X3 and OsteoStrong. I guess with OsteoStrong, I don't know if you're a founder, but you're a medical director.
No, I'm not. No, they had started before me.
Your medical director, I think, is your title.
I am the director.
Jeez, look at your arms. That's insane. All right.
What is my title there? It's a medical and scientific advisory board. I'm a director of medical and scientific.
There you go. And I would encourage you to, if you're interested in this stuff, you just learned how to do a push-up that gives you some of these benefits. And if you're a biohacker and things like that, you might want to check out the X3. And no matter who you are, OsteoStrong is, I think, going to be a really big game changer because it's such a small amount of time for a really big thing. All right, let's officially end the show for people who are driving, unless when you get to work, you want to go to bulletproof.com/YouTube, and then you can see me getting my ass kicked by the X3. We'll just do some curls real quick so you can see what the gear looks like.
Nice.
All right. At the end of the show, John and I were chatting, and he just decided he's going to offer a 10% discount code to people who want to give this a try who are Bulletproof fans, partly because he's a Bulletproof fan and just because, well, we did this on the fly. So if you want to use code Bulletproof on the x3bar.com website and save 10% to give this thing a try, hey, that's cool. It saves you about $42.90 or something. Hey, there you go, which is super cool. So give this thing a try if you want to save some time on exercise or not. It's a cool thing, and when you try it, you'll see what I'm talking about.
A Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.